right, you may be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them tonight. Brother Steve, I think she's allergic to you. She's trying to tell you that. Acts chapter 5. I'm going to read the first 11 verses, but keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them tonight. I want to help you. Of course, we're teaching on Wednesday night through the book of Acts, and this is not a line upon line, precept upon precept, but we're taking it event by event, so to speak. Acts chapter 5, verse number 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of his price, and his wife, also being privy to it, brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon them that heard these things. The young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me, whither you sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which hath buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in, found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Great fear came upon all the church, and upon many as heard these things. Now, I am not Joel Osteen. I'm not going to preach on your money tonight. That has absolutely nothing to do with this. I'm not one of these people that believes in that kind of mess, but the book of Acts is about the growth of the New Testament church. Now, you say, why? Because the growth of the church meant getting the gospel out to every creature. The biggest purpose of getting the churches going was so that we could get the gospel out around the world, grow people. The more people who get saved, the more people who understand the scripture can then tell others about Jesus, bringing them in and making it go the way God intended for it to go. Now, you say, why is that important? Everybody listen to this. If you missed this, you missed the whole teaching. The church is not the temple. The temple is the body of the Christian to these days. God says, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's why the chief priests and the Sadducees and Pharisees were mad at Jesus when he said, I'll destroy the temple and raise it up in 3 days. They said, look, our fathers built this. It took Solomon decades to build the temple. He said, I'm not talking about that building. I'm talking about this building. You can destroy it, but in 3 days, it's resurrected. Now, the temple style worship was done away with at Calvary. Matter of fact, it was done away with when Jesus started the church in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He didn't say, upon this rock I'll build my temple. The temple became a, and I'm going to use a word here, it's not exactly correct, but you'll understand it. It became a state religion. It was like the Roman Catholic Church is today. It is a state church. It's a governing church in the government. That is exactly what the temple became. That's why Jesus was ticked off on Palm Sunday, and he went in and made a whip and kicked the tables over and said, you've made my father's house a den of thieves. Now, that doesn't sound like somebody that was pussyfooting and wiggling when he walked with long hair. Not to me. Now, look at Colossians chapter 2 very quickly. Jesus came to fulfill the temple and to start the church. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 13. Let's start back in verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now, the only time baptism ever came up was in the church. The temple didn't baptize. The church did. So it's talking about church membership here, correct? But by being buried with him in baptism. Look at verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Watch this. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Watch this. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of new moon or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. In other words, Jesus came and fulfilled all those things from the temple. All the sacrifices were a picture of Jesus dying at Calvary. All of those symbols and things, the priesthood and things. By the way, that's why Jesus was not of Levi, of the tribe. He was of the tribe of Judah, according to Hebrews chapter 7. Say why? Because he said, I don't want people to worship the priesthood. Your eternal holy priest came from the tribe of Judah, of which Moses had not written, the scripture says. That's why following the Levitical priesthood is wrong, because Jesus nailed it to the cross. By the way, book of Acts tells us later that he paid for the church with his blood. That's Calvary. He bought your salvation and paid for the church with his blood. He was the fulfillment of all those things. There was no need to keep it going. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. We are to build a church, not a temple. Now, as we saw in chapter 4, the church wasn't going to be able to rely on, and I'm going to use the word religion, or the political world. By the way, religion has never gotten a good rap in the Bible. Religion's never used positively. Religion is man telling God how God must accept man. Religion is based on man. Christianity is based on the word of God. See signs every once in a while. To go to the church of your choice. Can I tell you something? How about we go to the church of God's choice? It's not a matter of our choice. It's a matter of which one does God bless, and I want to be a part of it. Well, that just doesn't fit my personality. Well, change your personality. God didn't ask about your stupid personality. He asked you to obey the word of God. Everybody doing all right? I won't change my position. I'll fix my disposition, but I won't change my position. Now, the church was going to have to stand alone. It was going to be independent. You're not going to be able to get along with everybody because they don't all preach the right doctrine and they're going to pull you the wrong direction. I won't tell you where. You might figure it out, but I'm not. I drive by a church on a regular basis, and they have a swimming pool out to attract the young people for church. Come to church in your bikini and let's have church. That's wicked. Well, we're getting them to church. Right. Okay. We won't go there. Now, the church was going to have to take care of the church. They're not going to be able to rely on government money. They're not going to be able to rely on the religious crowd to help you when you're down. You say, why? Because they don't want the truth. They just want everybody to feel good. Now, everybody doing okay? We saw last week at the end of chapter 4 that people in the church, if they had extra of something, often they would sell it, give it as an offering to the church, and when somebody had need in the church had the wherewithal to help somebody in the church. I'm going to say something. Don't get mad at me. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. There's nowhere in the scripture where it says that the church is supposed to be an extension of welfare.
Amen.
The church is not supposed to be the food kitchen to feed the entire community. I wish you could find how many answer the phone calls that Mrs. Barnes and Brother Josh and I answer of people that want us to pay their electric bill, pay their phone bill, pay their food bill, pay their mortgage, give them money to go to vacation. And the end of October, 1st of November, we start getting calls. Are you all giving money out for Christmas? People that don't come to our church, I mean, it's amazing. I've been cussed out because I wouldn't pay somebody's mortgage. This one lady started cussing at me. Well, I thought you were a Christian. I said, ma'am, I thought you were Christian. God said, if you don't work, you don't eat. She hung up on me. I didn't have a chance to hang up on her. I was having fun. I was getting ready to go for point number two to the sermon. She tagged into the wrong man. This one stomps when he walks. I said, ma'am, I said, we do our best to take care of the folks in our church. If they have need, we'll pull together and try to help them. But I have all I can take care of with the membership right now. I can't take care of everybody's bills. You say, preacher, that really happens about once a week, at least. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Now, let me get to the story of the where we were tonight. Ananias and Sapphira are a family in the church. They had a parcel of land that they owned, and they told Peter and John that they were going to sell this, and they were going to give the profit to the church so that the church could take care of the needs of the people in the church. Now, everybody look at me for just a second here. I am not preaching about how, by the way, have you noticed? Nowhere in the scripture does it say how much money it was, whether it was a lot or a little. Matter of fact, when Sapphira shows up, Peter said, did you sell it for so much? She said, yay, for so much. God didn't even put a price on it. We don't know if it was a big amount or a small amount. We just know they were selling it. They had committed to God that they were going to sell that and give it to the church to take care of the people in the church. Now, listen to me very carefully. That's happened in this church. I know people who have sold different things and said, preacher, I'm going to sell this and I'm going to give so much percentage of this to the church. Great if you do, great if you don't. I've never checked up on them to see if they have. Not one time. I know one person that had because they told me they sold it and they told me that they had given so much. That's the only one. But I know others have done it. Now, whether it be land, whether it be a car, whether it be, you know, clothes, whatever, it doesn't matter to me. But if you commit something to the Lord to give to the church, this is what this is all about. They promised God that they were going to give a certain thing. Here's what happened, though. When Ananias and Sapphira sold that, they got more out of it than they planned on getting. And Ananias and Sapphira said, well, we can skim off the top what we need and still give the church what we promised numerically. But that's not what they promised. I'm going to show you why that's important here in just a second. Now, Peter got word that Ananias had sold the land, but he had gotten more for it than what he told Peter. And Peter went to him and he said, Ananias, did you sell the land for such and such? Did you give what you promised God? Oh, yeah, I did. Oh. He said, why are you lying to God? He said, you are lying to God. It's not about me, Ananias. You promised God something and you lied to him and you did not give to God what you promised. The Bible says that Ananias fell dead. That's pretty harsh. God didn't use Peter to kill him. But they came in, they picked him up, they took him out to the graveyard, wound him up and threw him in the grave. 3 hours later, Peter's waiting on Sapphira to come home. She said, "Brother Peter, what you doing here?" He said, "Just got a question for you. Did you and your husband sell that piece of land?" "Oh, yes, sir." Did you get so and so much money for it?" "Oh, yes, sir." He said, "Why did you lie to God?" She said, "Excuse me?" He said, "You sold it for more than that, and you kept it, and you lied to God." And he said, "The very men that carried your husband out when he died 3 hours ago are going to carry you out." And she fell dead at his feet. Now, word got back to the church that took place, and the Bible says in verse number 11, "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." Can you imagine why? Don't lie to that preacher. Now, look at me. Sapphira and Ananias had corrupted the price. It was not a sin for them to give less money. It was a sin to lie to God. Let me show you why. Everybody look at me for just a second here. Let's say you've got a little parcel of ground that you're going to sell for $30,000. And you say to God, "God, I'm going to give the church everything I make off of that piece of land." And God comes and says, "Super." And he sends somebody your way that gives you $40,000 for that $30,000 piece of ground. You say, "Well, I only promised God the $30,000. No, you didn't. You promised him what you were going to get out of that. God gave you more because he was counting on using that money to help somebody else in the church with the benefit of what he just gave you. Everybody understand that? In other words, God gave you $10,000 more than you had asked for it so that he could take care of the needs of $10,000 extra of people that needed it that you didn't even know about. But when you hold it back, you've just lied to God. Now he has to find another way to meet the need that he already met, and you stole it from God. Now, that was the danger in the story. It wasn't that you cheated the church. It was lying to God. It's not a matter how much you give to the church. I don't check it. I make sure we get our bills paid, and I keep up with that. I couldn't tell you anybody outside what my wife and I give. Couldn't tell you what anybody in this church gives. Do I have access to it? If somebody knows how to push the buttons on the computer, but I know I don't. There's only one person that does in this church. And I've taught them how to do it and how to pray, and they couldn't even tell you. Say why? There's just something God does, and he erases certain brain cells when we need them erased. Amen? It's called selective Alzheimer's. Now, Ananias and Sapphira agreed that they would tell Brother Peter that they sold it for less than what God gave them for it, so that they didn't have to give it all that they promised God to give. God gave them extra so that he could take care of extra needs in the church. Just like when we've prayed for big things, when we're building the building and different things, and said, "Lord," you know, just recently, just in the last year, I said, "Lord, I need $10,000. Well, I had been given $10,000, and then I was handed another check for $20,000 a few weeks later. Praise the Lord. God knows we, and by the way, we needed it. It wasn't that we couldn't use it. But all that because, by the way, what if somebody would have held back and God was planning on using that $10,000 to help you? See the problem? Now, let me run through this very quickly. Ananias and Sapphira, number one, lied to God. By the way, they were saved. These were not lost, wicked, evil people. They were saved. But they lied. They weren't bad people. They were going to give money to the church. They weren't bad people. The problem came when they lied to God and they took what was God's. That's the issue. Before you get a bad attitude with Ananias and Sapphira, realize they were saved people that were good people. They were giving people. But greed slipped in and they lied to God. That was the big issue. When God blessed, they wanted to keep some of the blessing for themselves that they had promised to give God. That's the problem. They conspired together to say they sold it for a certain amount when they actually sold it for more. When they promised God, God blessed and gave them more because he wanted to help more people with it. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Right, go to the book of Matthew and turn back one page. Best way to tell you. Go to Matthew chapter 1 and go back a page or two and you're right there. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, look at verse number 8. We often use these verses, but we don't really realize what we're reading. God gives us an illustration in Acts 5 of Malachi 3, 8, 9. Will a man rob God? Notice the word rob. That word rob means armed robbery. Will you hold a knife or a gun to God's head and take what's his? Yet you have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes? And what's the next word? Offerings. You're cursed with a curse. For you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Now look at me. A tithe and an offering are different. A tithe is one-tenth of your income. It's the first tenth. That's what the word tithe means. It means first ten. I believe we ought to tithe on all of our increase. The first tenth, that means pre-taxes. For me, I even tithe on my income tax check because I didn't have it. Amen. You say, well, I paid it on it when I, but you didn't have it. Right. It's an increase, and I'd rather get to heaven and God say you gave too much than I didn't give enough. Now, if I say I have an offering, I'm going to sell something and I'm going to give all of it to God. I sell it, but I only give God half because I made more on it than I thought I was going to make. That's not what God intended. But that's what Ananias and Sapphira did. Say why? Because God may help you sell it to help more people because of the purpose for which you sold it. Does that make sense? All right. Now, by the way, I'd rather you sell it, not tell God how much you're going to give. You'll find out later that God says it's better not to vow a vow than to vow a vow and not pay it.
Amen.
Now, so they stole the prophet from God. Number two, and I'll hurry here, the church became afraid of this. Well, imagine, let's see here. Imagine Brother Randy and Miss Leanne. They say, preacher, we're going to sell something. We're going to give all the profit to the church. They did what Ananias and Sapphira did. And God says, okay, Brother Randy didn't do that. He comes to church and he said, and I found out and I said, Brother Randy, did you do this? Did you obey God? Oh, yeah, I did. And watch him fall dead. And 3 hours later, Miss Leanne comes in out of the car to find out where he's at. Why hurry, right? They saw the ambulance come, but she didn't know it was him. She was hoping it was, but no. But then she comes in. Leanne, did y'all sell that? Oh, yeah. Did you get so-and-so? Yeah, we did. And she falls dead. Now, can you imagine that hitting the newspaper around here? Imagine what the word's going to be like in the church. That's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. All right. Can you understand why they were a little wee bit afraid? Let me read. You don't need to turn there because it'll take you too long. But Proverbs chapter 19, let me read two verses to you here. Proverbs 19, verse number 25 says this. Smite the scorner and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. God says, smite the scorner and the simple will beware. I imagine the people in the church in Acts chapter 5 were going to be a little less reluctant to hold back on what they promised God. Amen. True? If you saw that happen, I know I wouldn't be holding back. It let people know not to promise God and go back on a promise to God about. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I quoted this to you, but I want you to see it so that you know it's not just me saying it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, it's right after the book of Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, look at verse number 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in, what's the next word? Fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Boy, I could preach a whole sermon on that one in Washington, D.C. Neither say thou before the angel that was in error, wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands. In other words, don't vow you're going to pay something to God and not pay it. Because if so, you're like a fool, and God is then going to curse the work of your hands. He's going to get it back one way or the other. Right. You're either going to give it to him, or you're going to take it out of your hide. Not because he wants it, but because you're being a fool, and there's only one way to take care of a fool. God's not interested in your money, but he can use it just like you can use it as a tool. Trouble is, money's become a god to people. Now, I hear people, well, I made a vow 30 years ago, and I haven't kept it, and God's cursing me. Wait a minute. I know a lady that she was married, had 6 kids. She came to me and said, I need permission to divorce my husband. When I was a teenager, I promised God I was going to marry a preacher and go to the mission field. I didn't marry a preacher. I'm not on the mission field, and I need to go pay my vow to God. I said, no, you're an idiot. I said, the moment you got married, the vow is reneged, and your vow is now to your husband, stay with your family. Amen. Everybody doing okay? By the way, she went from one vow to another vow. Why would it be okay to break this vow to go back to a different vow? That's what God's talking about here. But if you promise God, you're going to do something and you don't do it, yeah, you could pay some consequences along the way. But may I say something? God said, I'd rather you not vow than to tell me you're going to do something and not keep your word. Because when I hear your voice, it's going to make me mad. That's what he said. If somebody comes, borrows $100 from you, doesn't pay it back, oh, I'll pay it back, but 2 months later, they need another $100, and you give it to them again. Eventually, they keep asking. You're not going to listen to their voice. You're going to hate hearing their voice coming. Say why? Because you never paid it back. You know, it's kind of like, who's the guy on Popeye with the Wimpy with the hamburgers? Give me a hamburger today, I'll pay you on Tuesday, you know? I don't know where that came from, but all of a sudden it was there. That was not in the notes, but now, God's counting on you to keep your word, and he blesses those who do keep his word. Sometimes he will bless you more so that he can help more people with what you have. When you lie to God and hold back, it's not hurting God, it's hurting others. There's no telling how many people would go without needs being met because God was planning on Ananias and Sapphira giving what God blessed them with, and they held it back. That was the issue. Number 3, I got to hurry. The church grew because the people saw God working. The church grew because people saw God working. Go back to Acts chapter 5. We're going to read about 4 or 5 verses, and I'm going to give you about 5 or 6 statements, and I'm going to be done. Acts chapter 5, look at verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles, were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. We talk about our church being a hospital, not a museum. What happened was they saw this, they saw God working, they got the help they needed, and they went back into their cities and the towns and everywhere and started bringing other people that had needs and said, let's bring them and let's see what God can do. And the Bible says that multitudes were being added. Now look at me, our church has been growing. We are a growing, soul-winning church. I love it. But we are about to enter a new pace here. Instead of just adding from time to time, we're getting ready to start multiplying. We're going to see some bigger growth, a little faster growth. We've got more people. More people bring more people, and more people coming in, getting excited, bringing more people. And it's, you go from a visitor a week or a visitor every couple weeks or two or three visitors, and then we're going to see people getting saved, and we've been seeing people saved every week, getting baptized, joining the church. Then all of a sudden it's going to start going a little faster. Have you noticed it's getting a little faster, a little more crowded, a little more full? Well, watch it go another level and it's going to start multiplying. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be the biggest church in the area, but we're going to see a multiplication. Addition is good. Multiplication is fast adding. That's all it is. Multiplication is nothing but addition turned on its side to go a little faster. I used to teach mathematics some to elementary, and I said, look, don't be afraid of multiplications. All it is fast adding. 3 times 3 is 3 plus 3 plus 3. You're eliminating a step there. You're adding faster instead of 3 plus 3 equals 6 plus 3 equals 9. 3 times 3 is 9. Boom, whole lot faster. You can turn it into addition, but it's a whole lot faster to multiply it. Subtraction is fast, or a division is fast subtraction. That's all it is. And it's the same premise in church work. You can go from adding to adding to adding, but eventually that adding turns into multiplication. And as the church began to grow, and as the people started getting their needs met, more people went out bringing more people in to get the needs met, and the church began to grow more quickly and more quickly and more quickly. And that's what it was all about. Now, people wanted what God could do. Can I tell you something? Our community and where you live and that your families and everybody that you know needs what God's doing at Grace Baptist Church. They do. They don't know it, some of them, but they need it. People were leaving religion to come to the church. That's important. People will naturally come to a church where God is working if they know God's working. We got to let them know God's working. How do we do that? First of all, we tell them. Second of all, we let God work in our life and change our lives so they can see God working. And the more we get it out there, the more they'll come in, and that's how it works. So keep promoting what God's doing at Grace Baptist Church. Most religion is about your feelings. Most religion is about making you feel good. Don't get me wrong. I like people to like me, but I don't give a flip. My job is to preach the truth and to help you. Sometimes the doctor's got to hurt you to make you feel better. Amen. Have you ever been to a chiropractor? Good night. They'll twist you into a pretzel. You'll hurt for 2 days, but afterwards you're standing up straight and thinking, maybe it wasn't so bad. You know, there's times they have to hurt you to make you feel better. You know, you break your arm, they're going to have to hurt you to set that thing. I remember a guy had his shoulder out of joint, laying on the floor screaming. And I knew just enough about it. I said, okay, you look that way. Somebody hold his head looking that way. He said, what are you going to do? I said, just look that way and don't you look at me. I stuck my foot in his armpit and went like that, and his shoulder went kapow, and he went, ugh, all over. Say, you shouldn't have done it. He was in pain. I had to get him out. He wasn't a horse. I didn't have my gun. I wasn't allowed to shoot him. If it was a horse, I'd have popped him. You can say, why? Because you ain't going to do that to a horse. But pop that shoulder. You remember this kid. He was after school playing football in the parking lot, and he broke his finger. When he did, that joint there was down here, and the first joint and the middle joint were together. I said, dude, do me a favor. Before you go to the hospital, go to the washroom. I said, take care of business now. He said, why? I said, because I promise you, when they pull on that thing, you're going to wet yourself. About an hour later, he came back. He said, Brother Bush, I'm glad I went to the bathroom. You're right. I'd have peed myself. He said, that doctor looked at it. I went, oh. I said, yep, told you. I said, there's only one way to do it, and I wasn't going to pull on it. Now, I say that to say this. People need to know what God's doing. Let God work in your heart. Let God change you, and let people know how God's working. Let people know how God's working in our church. By the way, people aren't used to seeing a church where God's free to do his work his way. It's not manufactured, it's God-ufactured. People can't know what God's doing unless we tell them. There's no way they'll know out there what God's doing in here unless those of us in here take it out there and tell them what God's doing. No way. So, what do? Just tell everybody everywhere you go. Just tell everybody everywhere you go. Again, religion and the religious world will be upset. Oh, I get calls every once in a while from religious people. Well, your people have been going into my area. I said, well, you don't go there. I said, I didn't see your name on it. I said, last time I checked, it's America. It's free. Everybody doing all right? You say, well, what if somebody in the community gets upset? Then we know we're doing our job right. Yeah, buddy. As our church grows, you need to grow as a Christian. Folks, as our church grows, we're going to need more Sunday school help. We're going to need more nursery help. We're going to need more people to help in different areas. But I need you to grow so that we can help more people. That's what it's all about. Don't lie to God. The whole story is this. If you're going to promise God something, don't lie to him. Better not to promise him than to promise him and hold back. I'm not saying God's going to strike you dead, but I will tell you this. You just better keep your word to God. Life will be a whole lot better. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. There's so much more I wanted to say, but I don't have time tonight.